why are we doing Genesis to Jesus? Why don't we just hop straight to Jesus? We wouldn't suggest people to read about it, hop straight to the part about the Battle of Helm's Deep inside, or maybe the crowning of Aragorn at the end of The Lord of the Rings, without having read the beginning part of the story to understand why it was so significant in the first place.
Welcome to the CDM Podcast, a production of Contagious Disciple Making. We exist to catalyze movement through coaching, community, and communication. We created this podcast to help everyday Christians become world-changing disciple makers.
Hi, you're listening to the CDM Podcast. I'm Paul Watson. This is Rebecca Ewing. And today we are going to be talking about discovery group lists. Now, if you're listening to this, we would love for you to like, share, five-star rate, review this podcast. You can listen to our full premium content by becoming a $5 a month supporter on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/faithworks, patreon.com/faithworks, or click the link in the description. To those of you that support this podcast, thank you so much. Your support helps us put tools in the hands of men and women just like you who want to experience a disciple-making movement in their own neighborhood.
That's right. This particular podcast, we're going to be talking about the scripture lists and the most common questions that we have when it comes to the scripture list, how to use them, which ones, you know, and all those details when it comes to the scripture lists.
Yeah, we get questions like this all the time, like, which list should I use? I got this list from one place. Is it good enough? I scratched this list together while I was at the kitchen table before I came to the meeting. Is that good enough? I mean, that's the kind of question we get all the time, and it's a great question. What list should we use when? What do we need to consider in choosing the list that we're using to help people find and follow Jesus?
I think the main thing for us to realize is that how we use the scripture list or what scripture list they use actually really does matter. Mm-hmm. It's something that we would encourage people to, if you're trying to really help people discover God, to not be cavalier with. You know, this is something that has been carefully crafted amongst various people who are seeking movement. And we want to be able to make sure we're utilizing the principles and wisdom to create lists that actually bring people to become disciple makers and to know God. So what do we suggest?
Yeah.
Here at Contagious Disciple Making.
Exactly. When we're looking at starting with people who don't know Jesus, okay, that's our audience, helping them fall in love with Him, we suggest using the Creation to Christ list. That's 26 passages. It starts in Genesis and it ends with Jesus.
And once again, you might be asking, which Creation to Christ list? Well, we're referring to specifically the one inside of the book, Contagious Disciple Making. And if you would like to have a list of this one that we're talking about, you can become an email subscriber to Contagious Disciple Making if you go to a website, contagiousdisciplemaking.com, and sign up for our emails on that particular website. We'll be able to send you those particular scripture lists to help you with that.
Yeah, so why this particular list? Well, first of all, it tells the entire story. We find that a lot of people this day and age, they don't understand who Jesus is because they don't come from a Judeo-Christian worldview. There's so many things that are left out now in their understanding and way of looking at the world. We need to fill those blanks in. And guess what? God knew that this would happen, and He planned the Bible in such a way that if we go from Genesis to Jesus the way it's written, then He fills in a lot of those blanks to help people understand why they need Jesus and why He had to come in the first place.
Right. This, we get this question often. Why are we doing Genesis to Jesus? Why don't we just hop straight to Jesus? And we say this all the time, that you don't really appreciate or fully understand the main character and the best moment of the book without having read the first part of the book. We wouldn't suggest people to read about it, hop straight to the part about the Battle of Helm's Deep inside, or maybe the crowning of Aragorn at the end of The Lord of the Rings, without having read the entire book. That moment in which Frodo finally, actually he doesn't, but Gollum ends up falling into the fiery pit of Mount Doom with the ring. You know, okay, what's the big deal about that? You know, nobody understands the big deal if nobody would encourage you to hop to that particular section without having read the beginning part of the story to understand why it was so significant in the first place.
And I think that's a really good point, Rebecca, in terms of understanding the why. If we don't start in Genesis and work our way through God creating mm-hmm. the world and sin and the fall and all of those kind of things, people don't understand the why. The big why that they don't get is, why did Jesus have to die?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
The basis of what we call a big fancy word, substitutionary atonement, is actually started way back in the Old mm-hmm. Testament. In the Old Testament, when it comes to the Passover itself, when it comes to the Levitical system that teaches us to sacrifice, make sacrifices for sin. When we read about it in the story of Abraham and Isaac, you know, all of those things set up us understanding why Jesus had to come, why he had to die for us in the first place, among other things.
Right. And one of the most common problems of all the religions of the world, including people who have even been brought up in Christian circles, is the thought of somehow I'm going to do enough good things mm-hmm. to make up for my bad things, and not realizing that there is a definite death penalty for sin that needs to be paid. And going back to the beginning and being able to show that connection, it really starts putting the pieces together for people when it comes to why Jesus had to die.
You know, I had an English teacher once that when she told me about when she critiqued my writing, she said, "Paul, I want you to show me, not just tell me." And if we look at it this way, Romans does a lot of telling. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you can hear that, and it sounds great, but if you don't have an understanding behind right. that verse, it doesn't have the meaning that it might have for you and I who spent so much time following the Lord. So where do we get in? That's the telling piece. Paul is telling us, but he's summarizing it for a group of people who know the stories already. So by going into the Old Testament, we show why we need it. People read about the sacrifices and they're like, oh my goodness, this all had to happen for people to walk in freedom and relationship with God. And now they get it.
Exactly. It's now not a new concept. It's now a concept that was all the way back from the beginning, even in creation, where he turns to Adam and Eve and says, if you do this, you will die.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like, well, you'll have a meal, maybe die. If you don't for the rest of your life, do a really good job of making sure you don't do anything else that I didn't really particularly want you to. No, it's you do this, you will die.
Right.
And so that even from the beginning, it's that it's teaching that those concepts that lead to that. But the other thing that it really does, this particular list, is it really shows God's character and all of who he is. Of course, everything culminates in the person of Jesus and his revelation, but we see so much of God's character, his faithfulness, his justice, how he punishes sin from the Old Testament.
Yeah, once again, it's that act of showing. We get to see God's character lived out through all of those stories and not just hear someone say, God is holy. We can actually see him respond to things and show us how he is holy. You know, another thing that it addresses as well is this idea of syncretism. And you might think that that's something that happens overseas when you see this melding of cultic practices or Buddhist practices now with a Christian faith put inside. But it actually happens in the United States as well. And a big place is with secular humanism, where it teaches us that we're all born good or basically
right.
good. And that blends into people's understanding of who God is in the Bible, and that causes us, it gives permission to a lot of behaviors because we believe we were born this way or born good. And consequently, you know, the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 flies right in the face of that and says, no, mankind is born wicked or is wicked from birth. And those are things that people need to understand to avoid the syncretistic ideas.
Ultimately, we don't want to be adding Jesus to a different kind of worldview,
mm-hmm.
a different kind of system of looking at the world. And if we and part of the systematic looking at the world is, where do we come from, our origins? You know, what is the basis, as you said, of our nature and God's nature that has come out? And so if we simply add Jesus on top of other people's understanding of origin and all these different types of things, we're going to get a quasi-Christianity, but not a full understanding, you know, people now coming to Jesus with a biblical worldview mindset. I am made in the image of God by a creator, and sin and death and the fall and all this stuff, that is the basis and the rock bed of the biblical worldview. So that's how we'll have people, as Paul says, that will that are Christians, but still somehow believe that man is basically good, which of course, as we know in our society and in first world countries, that it leads to a lot of different problems with morality and things like that. But then also when it comes to origin, that's how we get a lot of evolutionary Christians, you know, theistic evolutionists around and stuff. It's because we just haven't adopted the biblical worldview as a top of that, and it creates problems. Of course, it creates problems in the first world country, but it definitely, of course, as people would obviously see in other countries where, you know, like you were saying, Buddhists and Hindus and all that, that we don't know why, that they just basically add them to their list of gods that they serve and love and things. Well, that's because it wasn't uprooted by establishing a different foundation from Genesis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The other thing, the last thing on our list that we want to talk about too, of creation of Christ, is that it prepares people for repentance. You know, if people believe that they're born basically good, then how understanding, you know, why do we need to repent? All that stuff becomes a little vague. And then the reason Jesus died now is cheapened, because they have a cheap understanding of grace, a cheap understanding of why. So if we actually go through and they see the cost of sin and the destruction it brings, not just in the world back then, but they also start to identify it in their own life, then now all of a sudden when they get to God, when they get to Jesus himself, they're like, oh my goodness, God made this way for me. And now he is so much more precious, because they realize what he had to do, what it cost God to do, what it would have cost them had Jesus not come and done it.
Right. And it also prepares them to really to know what they're getting themselves into. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, we also see a God that is righteous and holy. And we see that throughout, and he expects people to follow him, and there's consequences when there's not. And so if we are reading these passages and we're doing obedience based upon them, by the time we get to Jesus, you know, as we said before, he's such a, you know, answer to our struggling to do those things, but yet it doesn't make us think, well, then I just don't have to do that in the first place. It really is something that brings us to that place where we understand our relationship with God better from having done that from the beginning. So again, we had said earlier that this, we want to encourage people not to be cavalier about how they set up their creation to Christ list, or even just their list in general, because or think that this is something simply done. It actually took a lot of effort and experimentation to create this current list, right, Paul?
That's exactly right. So I was on the team that finally brought together all the Discovery Bible studies and wrestled through the questions. We even wrestled through the scripture passages. It was an international team of practitioners that met together on multiple occasions and sat there and wrestled through the different things and have taken these lists and applied them and tested them all over the world. And so my specific task was actually to be not only to be a junior editor over everything, but also to be the one specifically working on the Discovering God, the Creation to Christ list itself. And so we actually went through and we said, okay, what are the attributes of God that someone needs to understand in order to be able to say yes to him, to value who Christ is, and to choose to give their life to him and even give up their life for him. And so stuff like God is the creator, he is holy, that he punishes sin, you know, all of those things were thought through in this. The other thing is we picked out narrative passages that would end up telling stories, because it's that idea of showing and not telling, because in showing, they're more easily to transfer, but also you get into the feeling of it rather than just getting more information. They can see how it makes sense, and it becomes more concrete than something when somebody just says something like we would read in Romans or in any one of Paul's writings. And so those were things that we did. The other thing we looked is we said, will this basic list work across multiple cultures and multiple socioeconomic groups? And the answer is yes. It has been used all over the world, multiple cultures, multiple languages, multiple socioeconomic groups to help people fall in love with Jesus. In fact, we've been testing this list, this particular list in the book for about, I would say, a little over 10 years now, and it's doing pretty well.
Well, I mean, even just specifically when it comes to these particular things, you know, again, as you said, this has been tested. A lot of people want to ask the question, will this work in my particular context? Highly likely, yeah. Yes. In fact, if any particular list out there is probably going to work, it's going to be this one, because it has worked in so many different contexts. You know, so when it comes to other important qualities, when it comes to, as Paul said, first off, there's the narratives. Those are the fact that they are narrative. Jesus knew the power of the story. And also, it's very easy to share. A story is much more easy to share than trying to remember an expositional passage. But the next thing is also that the same concepts that are being taught about God, sin, soul, man, our responsibility to God, like repentance and obedience, it's reflected by both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in other words, out of this 26 passage study, 11 are in the Old Testament, and thereby 15 are in the New Testament. So there is a balance there between the two. So there's not like there's not enough of either one of them, but it shows the continuity when it comes to the Bible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, a question that we get a lot is, won't unbelievers dislike or misunderstand the Old Testament? In other words, do we have to read parts of Leviticus?
Yeah, we get that. It's like, do we have to read Leviticus?
So I just want to let you know, we've had on multiple occasions, people make radical life-changing decisions after reading a passage in Leviticus, down giving their life to Jesus, choosing to forsake a homosexual lifestyle. I mean, these are all things that have happened in the book of Leviticus, and they're not stuff you would hear from the pulpit, but people are reading it, and the Spirit of God is convicting it and making changes. So in other words, yes, read Leviticus.
Yeah. Because here's the thing is that people are afraid that unbelievers will dislike or misunderstand the Old Testament. This is a lie that Satan has spread into our Christian culture, that the God of the Old Testament is harsh and hard to connect with and, you know, hard to understand and just as unpleasant. And we like to just try to forget it altogether, that it's even there half the time. The reality is that the Old Testament is rich with God's goodness, his faithfulness. You clearly see the sin of man and how dark it is in comparison to the goodness of God. And you sit there half the time going, man, if man would just do the way God would say, that was so much better, you know? And so you see all these things, and it's just not true. The fact that, that unsaved people don't like the Old Testament when they actually read it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, when they actually read it. So if we can actually get them to read it for themselves, they're like, oh, and they see so much of the good God that we know is told in every page of the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. So they actually respond very well to Leviticus. Okay. I'm just saying they do. And this is not just something that happened overseas with other people. We've seen this happen, them respond very well in the United States itself. And so I would just sit there and encourage you to have faith in the Holy Spirit, have faith in the Word of God, and allow it to speak. Don't be somebody who sits there and says, no, I don't believe God, that part of God's work can speak in the situation, because we never know what God is going to use to bring someone to himself. And make no mistake, he is the one that brings people to himself.
So another very common question that we get all the time is, can we shorten the list? And this is based out of, you know, the fear that there's not enough time to go through all of them, that someone won't have the attention span to go through all of them, that maybe that there is some, you know, genuine, I'm not going to have a lot of time with this person kind of thing. So, you know, can we shorten the list?
Yeah. And here's a long and short of that. Ha. But if we shorten the list, we are going to miss key concepts. Because remember, the list wasn't just haphazardly chosen. It was looked at what are the character attributes of God that someone needs to understand in order to make a choice to give their life to him, to be willing to die for him. And so that's why the stories were there. So if you leave a story out without knowing why the story was in, then you might inadvertently leave out something that is setting themselves up for failure later, up for a weaker faith or a weaker understanding of God later.
The key is we don't want to shortcut the process. Mm-hmm. We have to keep our eyes on the long-term goal that we have for these people. Isn't just to get them to say a prayer.
Right.
And that's it. No, we want them to be disciples who make disciples. We want them to fully understand who God is in this entire process. So we don't want to shortcut that particular process. And we can trust it. Mm-hmm. We can trust that if a person is truly seeking God and they're starting to read and respond to his word, that the process will get them to not only to salvation, but beyond that, to where they're now growing in Christ and helping others come to know him and do the same.
Now, I will tell you this. We don't sit there and tell someone that they're going to be in a 26-week long study. We don't say,
generally don't suggest that.
Because it's hard to get Christians to even sign up for like experiencing God or another study like that that is much shorter in nature.
Right.
And so I wouldn't even be able to get Christians to sign up to a 26-week study most likely. So what do we do? Well, we invite them to read the first story with them. And then we ask, you know, the second date question is what I like to call it. You know, was this good for you? Do you want to do it again? And then they say yes, and you do it. And when would you like to meet again? And they go in and they suggest when, and then you meet with them then. We just recently had one of the people in our coach team begin this process with their father. And, you know, literally right after they were done with the first one, she says, you know, Daddy, when do we want to meet again? And he's like, can we meet the day after tomorrow? You'll get surprised.
I'm glad you brought up that particular point, Paul, because I have a lot of people that come to me and say, well, we're going to do the Discovery Bible study every other week, you know, because they're thinking that's how much time I want to spend on doing this particular thing. When the reality is that you're slowing down the process. The process isn't necessarily going to take that much long, you know, so we want to make sure that they're going at the pace that God is leading them. So if it ends up becoming multi-week, then great. But here's the thing. If you're somehow disconnected, if you're somehow maybe, you know, they're only here for a certain amount of time. First off, there's two things. One is we have the beauty of technology that if they move somewhere else, if they go to a different location, you can continue talking with them over the phone, over Zoom, over different things. But even if not, even if there's some way you get absolutely cut off, if you are doing the process correctly, if you're helping them read and discover for themselves and respond to the passage in specific I will statements and to share it with others and help other people, if you get the right DNA in there, they will continue the process and it will multiply out.
Yeah, we have actually evidence of this. We were talking with Jack. You know, Jack is a chaplain down in Texas. You guys may have heard of speak of him before, and he's been telling his story for a while. Well, because of COVID, he wasn't able to get in and see the prisoners for a while. They weren't able to move around. They were moved around and then they were stuck. I mean, it was really, really crazy there. And as he got back in the prison, he got a request for baptism. And so he went to track that one down because he's like, okay, how did this happen? This is exciting. And he talks with a fellow, and it turns out that this fellow's discipleship journey was begun by one of the members of Jack's DMC, Disciple Making Community, right there in the prison, formed of prisoners who had given their lives to Jesus. So this young man had started reading the Bible with one of the members of that Disciple Making Community and ended up through that, even though things got messed up and mixed up and Corona happened, he continued to read the Bible and decided to give his life to the Lord, and was following up with Jack saying, I wanted to be baptized. And that's super cool and very exciting.
Absolutely. Again, we just need to trust the process that the Word of God from Genesis all the way to Jesus and Revelation can brings people to a knowledge of who He is, how we can know Him, and how we can spread Him to the people around us.
That's right. You've been listening to the CDM Podcast. Like, share, five-star rate, review this podcast. We'll be back with our premium content after the break. We're going to be discussing questions like, can I break up long passages? Can I add passages? Are there other lists out there that I can use? And which list should my Christian friends use or start with? So that's going to be discussed in our premium content right after this break. You can listen to our full premium content by becoming a $5 a month supporter on our Patreon page, patreon.com/faithworks, patreon.com/faithworks, or click on the link. So that's for our premium content, and we're super excited to have you join us there.
Thanks for listening to the CDM Podcast. To hear part two, become a supporter on our Patreon page. You can find the link in the description. For coaching or other resources, connect with us at contagiousdisciplemaking.com.